Welcome to another life-changing teaching by Jerry Dierman, Senior Pastor of The Rock. For more information about Pastor Jerry's teaching and ministry, please visit jerrydierman.com.
How many of you are on the victory side? Some of you don't know what that means, huh? It means regardless of what's going on in your life, you've already chosen, declared that you have victory because Jesus is with you and greater is He who is in you than he that's in the world. Is that right?
Yes.
Did you know you can choose that regardless of what's happening in your life? Did you know that? But did you know if you don't choose that, somebody will choose for you? Is that right too? Thank God. The Holy Spirit has had us on this whole reaping thing here. This wasn't something that I really intended to dwell on and linger on, but it is stirring in me so big, and my wife and our staff, and we're dealing with this. And when we talk about harvest and reaping, we're talking about souls, we're talking about finances. How many of you know finances is important to God? Are we at the place at The Rock where we can talk about money in church and you don't get a weird feeling? Because, see, in a lot of churches, they still got that weirdness going on. That, yeah, somebody said maybe because they don't talk about money. And I'm not talking about tithing and just hammering on tithing all the time. Although that's very important to teach. There's so much to teach that we've never even taught here on tithing and the power of that. But I'm talking about finances, which is a part of reaping. Because how many of you know God is about His kingdom and about a vision that He has, and He needs us to be able to receive something to be able to put it in. Is that true? And so, but sometimes when we get into talking about these things, some people don't want to talk about it because, for one thing, it's a discouraging subject to some people because there's pressure, and they want to get their mind off of that when they come to church because that's too much pressure. Other people have the idea that whenever the church talks about it, there's an ulterior motive. And so the reason they're really talking about it is not that they want you to be blessed. It's that they want something. The church wants something. And so they're only pumping you up because they want you to give. But you'll notice that after we teach on these things, we don't pass the offering. Unless the Lord would instruct us. He hasn't yet. But I imagine there might be a time that He would. And I would if He instructed us to. No, we do it and we send people out with the word in their hearts because God's working on us, see? He's working on us. He's dealing with us about some things. But it's important to talk about it. And the Lord has said to us, those of you that were at Big Diamond, you'd know this. The Lord said to us that 2005 is a year of financial breakthrough for the people of The Rock. Amen. Amen. Now, if you're at The Rock, then that applies to you. I don't believe it's just limited to us. Do you? But nevertheless, I do believe that the Holy Spirit will speak specific words to specific people and groups of people and says, this is what I want to do in you. And I don't believe that His blessing is coming on us just because He wants us to kick back in our easy chairs and just have a wad in our pocket and be blessed. Do you? I believe it's because He's got some things for us to do. But how many of you know it's a blessing to be able to give and to be able to do some things? Is that right? It's a blessing to be able to do some things. Well, God needs to get you blessed so that you can be blessed enough to do things and to bless other people and to bless the ministry and so on. You know what's somebody, you know, we've talked about this. Well, we haven't talked much about it, but some people say, well, give until it hurts. Well, how many of you know that there's a time to do that? But how many of you know it's fun to give when it doesn't hurt? But you can give big and it didn't hurt really. That's fun too. How many of you know that? Somebody says, I wouldn't know. Well, how would you like to find out? Where you can just give whatever the Lord says to give and not be concerned about it all because it didn't throw you off for the month. Now you don't have to go home and figure out, what am I going to do now? Oh, man. See? And so the Lord wants to teach us how to receive. Well, we talked about souls, we talked about finances, but the Lord wants us to reap healing in our physical bodies. There's a reaping process. Just because Jesus paid for that by His stripes does not mean there's not an effort and a work to receive that harvest of healing. That's true, isn't it? And that's true in every area, in our marriages, relationships. It's true with our health, and not just being free from sickness, but in exercise and eating. How many of you know the disciplines of the flesh? There is a harvest of the Word of God that'll help us with our flesh. Is that true? And so, the Lord has had us on this harvest, and it's because He wants the people at the Rock to not only have sown, because so many of us sow, and we give, and we're obedient to God, and we're living under His rule with faith and humility and such, and yet we don't see those things that the Bible promises coming to pass in our lives. Well, it's because we also need to learn how to harvest. And so that's why God's had us on this, is to learn how to harvest. And you know what's great about harvesting is, when you harvest and you get some in, then you get excited about sowing again. Because it validates in your heart that it worked. Look at that. Man, look at that. I sowed for something and I got it. Man, what are you going to do? You're going to go back, and the next time the Lord prompts you to sow, you're going to sow in more faith now, right? Because see, it's working for you. And so that's why you got to follow this whole thing through, and not only just do the right things, but believe God and stand on the Word that what He promised He would do in response to what you're doing actually comes to pass. So then you can with joy say, praise God. Man, thank you, Jesus. And go give somebody a testimony about how good God is. And get back to sowing. But sometimes, and how many of you know what I mean, we sow, and we're not reaping, and it's discouraging. Is that true? So, I was asking the Holy Spirit about tonight, and He gave me some keys to reaping that I want to share with you tonight. And this goes along with what we studied last Wednesday. This goes along with what we did on the weekend, which was much of last Wednesday, really. But it's a little bit different. I don't believe that we'll get into much of this on this weekend. But open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 10 again. Proverbs chapter 10. And I'm going to talk to you about reaping your harvest. Tonight, the light's going to go on for many of you, and you're going to see into reaping your harvest more than you ever have. Is that okay? Anybody want that? Yes. Is there anybody in here that wants to go to the next level with God? Thank God. Does anybody here want to go to the next level in finances? Yes. Right? Now we're not talking about greed. We're not talking about materialism. We're not talking about the love of money. How many of you know it's very clear the Bible says you don't give in to those things? No. We're talking about contending to receive what God has promised for us so that His Word is working in our lives the way that it ought to work, and we can then take that harvest and begin to use it for the glory of God. It's the glory of God for you to get out of debt. Did you know that?
Yes.
You need to understand, you getting out of debt, for those of you that are in debt, which I would estimate is most of us in here, for you to get out of debt is a benefit to the kingdom of God. Don't think that you're asking God to do something for you that doesn't affect Him. You're His child. And He's got things for you to do, and as long as you're in debt, you're limited. You're a limited asset to the kingdom of God. But if He can get you blessed and out of debt, then anything He gives to you, nobody else can demand it. Because Proverbs says the borrower is servant to the lender. Is that right? But God wants us to be His servant. He said you can't serve, Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon. That's money, right? You can't serve God and money. So if you're in debt, and you got a lender, then you can't just do anything God wants you to do. But see, once God blesses you and you reap your harvest and you get out of debt and get over here, then God can tell you to do anything at any time. Is that right? Now, some of you don't know what I mean by out of debt. I'm talking about everything. House, everything. Out of debt. Oh, you still have to pay the electric bill and taxes, but how many of you would be okay with that, right? Be all right with that? Pay your taxes on the house and electric bill. Proverbs chapter 10. Let's touch on this first point that the Lord... This is not 3 points in a poem. You know, you know I don't teach like that. How many of you know I don't... How many of you know that's just not the way it comes out from Jerry? Proverbs chapter 10. Let's look at this verse again in verse 5. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. Now, and we talked about this, but I want to hit it, and I want to hit it from another little passage here in Proverbs as well, that one of the keys to reaping your harvest is you got to wake up and realize there is one. Because if you're just so busy, you're just going through life, your calendar's full, and you're just, you know, in the routine, in the rut, and you're just in the rat race, and you're just going, and you have worries, you want the harvest, but you're not aware of where the harvest is and what you need to do to reap it, then you're sleeping in the harvest. Because you're not doing anything about it. You're in a daze. You're in la-la land. Okay? Now listen, that doesn't mean you want to be. It's not necessarily a heart problem where you don't want the harvest. You could want it badly, but if you don't see it, if you don't wake up to see it, then you can't reap it. And waking up to see it, let me tell you, you need the Holy Spirit. This is revelation stuff. This is not just reading some secular books to find out some good ideas of how to make money or how to get your healing or whatever. No, this is revelation. This is where we're going to the Lord and we're seeking Him and saying, God, show me what I need to know. Lord, I'm looking to you for wisdom. And he begins to enlighten you. But see, just you actively going to God and saying, God, here's the issue I'm believing you for. God, give me wisdom. You're waking yourself up. You're stirring yourself up, believing that God has some wisdom that you need. And he's going to give it to you if you ask him. Of course, that's James 1:5. Anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. Look at chapter 6 now of Proverbs. And some of you, you've heard me talk about this. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6. Go to the ant, you who? Sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer or ruler provides her supplies when? That's harvest time. In other words, when the harvest is there, they provide supplies, not just for that season, but for the season when there is no harvest. See, a lot of us, we're just thinking about today. What do we do this month? This month. When sometimes God brings a harvest in that'll last us several months, but we don't think about that. He said, the ant, consider her ways, because the ant provides her supplies in the summer, gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? And when will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. There's so many good things in here. I'm just going to pick them out as I feel led by the Holy Spirit, but then I want to move on. Thank God. Look back at verse 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Verse 7, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler. No captain, overseer, or ruler. What he's saying is that some people need to be told what to do. Some people do not do anything on their own. Some people have that mentality. They go to work, and unless somebody tells them to do it, they don't do it. There is no self-motivation, internal motivation. You know, you work for a company, and instead of clicking into what the company's trying to do, what the department's trying to do, what my boss is trying to get, instead of clicking in, you've got that worker's mentality, that slave mentality. Whatever they make me do, I'll do. I'm only going to go as hard, and I'm only going to work as much as they make me work. And so, if something needs to be done, you'll just ignore it and act like you didn't see it until the boss comes in and says, do it, do it. See, you need an overseer. And he's saying, go to the ant, you sluggard. Go to the ant, because you have to have somebody pounding on you. You've got to have a captain. You've got to have an overseer. You've got to have a general over you. A sergeant telling you, come on, do it, do it, do it, do it. It's like you're still a kid. You know, and you won't get up. And so mom's in there. And depending on what kind of parent you had, you know, some of you had moms that come and wiggle your toe. Sweetheart, time to get up. I didn't have that. I had dad coming down the hall. Get up! And you have to say, okay, okay, okay. And then he goes back, you know, and then he comes back the second time. I said, get up. Yeah, I'm getting up, Dad. And you start, yeah, you better move. You don't just lay there. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm getting up right there. But then as soon as he went back, you know, oh. But when you hear those footsteps coming for the third time, by the time he gets to the room and looks in, you're up. Because if you're not up by the third time, then that's child abuse right there. That's what's going to happen right there. Some of you don't know what that is because you're too young and culture's changed, but my dad didn't change with any culture, let me tell you. But you see, some people grow up to be adults, and yet they've still got that mentality. Somebody has to force them, catch them, tell them, because they know, they see things, but they refuse to do it. And they wonder why they are financially destitute. Let me tell you, this is what Proverbs is saying. That's part of the reason right there. Now, you know what? Let me tell you, somebody says, yeah, yeah, well, that doesn't apply to me because I'm a business owner. That doesn't mean anything. There are business owners broke, starving because of this. Because they're like this and don't have a captain or a ruler or an overseer, that's why they're broke. Because they need one. Just because you start your own business doesn't mean that you're going anywhere. Is that right? Let me tell you something. You start a business, that's called work. This doesn't just happen for you. You know, they got these things where they say, oh man, look at the signs. You know, you can make $5,000 part-time on the side, just at home, sitting in your easy chair. You seen those signs? Right? And you got these guys calling them up. That's what I want. That's what I've been looking for. That job where I make lots of money being lazy, right? That's what I've been looking for. Hey, it's not there. Don't you believe it? That's a lie. That's a lie. So one of the keys to harvest is you got to get up. Write that down. You got to get up. You can't wait. You can't wait till somebody motivates you. If you want your harvest, let me tell you, it belongs to you. If you've sown seed, if you love God, if you've given your life to God, have tithed or given and been obedient to God to any extent, you have a harvest, it belongs to you. But if you don't get busy and do something, get up, get motivated, it doesn't just come to you. And there's a thief. And the thief will take it. Amen. Well, look, that's only verse 7. Having no captain, overseer, ruler. Verse 8, provides her supplies in the summer, gathers her food in the harvest. What does that say? When there's an opportunity, take it. Now, that doesn't mean you just take every opportunity. You need to be led by the Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit leads you to an opportunity, take it. Because opportunities don't always hang around till you feel like it. How many of you know most of the time when it's time to work, you don't feel like working? Is that right? Verse 9, how long will you slumber, O sluggard? And when will you rise from your sleep? Notice verse 10. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. I'm going to hit verse 11, then I'm going to come back to verse 10. Now listen. So shall your poverty... How many of you know what poverty is? So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler. You know what a prowler does? He sneaks up. He does not call and say, I'm coming over. Is that right? He doesn't ring the doorbell. No, he sneaks in. He waits until you're sleeping. You're not paying attention. He sneaks in. And God's trying to tell us here, listen, poverty is not going to knock and let you know I'm on my way, so you better do something. No. Before you realize it, it's already got you. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, sneaks up on you. And your need like an armed man. What does that mean? It snuck up on you and it's got you. But then when you go to react, that armed man's got a gun right you. In other words, you won't be able to do anything about it because you waited too long. Well, I don't want that, do you? But how many of us know what that is? When it snuck up on you and you realize all my options are gone. It's like an armed man. He's got the gun right at my face saying, you're not going to do anything about it. I'm taking your TV. I'm taking your family. You know, there's harvest. And there he is walking away with it. Well, how did that happen? I want you to see something. Here's the deceptive part. Look back at verse 10. It didn't happen, listen, it didn't happen because necessarily much sleep, but a little bit. Little sleep, little slumber, a little folding of the hands. What does that mean? Little compromise. Just a little bit. I'm slacking just a little bit. I'm supposed to be getting busy doing something, but no, I'm just a little slacking a little bit. But that little bit of slacking and not doing what you're supposed to be doing is what allows that prowler to come in with a gun called poverty. So what do you have to do? You have to get yourself motivated. So one of the keys here, and this is for some of you in here, because listen, this is not God getting on your case. This is God helping you to say, do you realize I've got a harvest for you? But you gotta take it. Don't wait on somebody. Don't get in that slave mentality where my master has to make me do it. No. That's your harvest. Belongs to you. Get up and get it. Amen. Thank God. Not a lot of amens right there. Amen. But don't, hey, listen. Just keep looking forward. Nobody will know it applies to you. Just keep looking forward. Just nod your head. Nobody will know. But it does, doesn't it? How many of you know it definitely applies to some of the people right around you? Isn't that right? Isn't that right? I'm telling you, we're good to admit that for these fine family members. Well, let's get into the second one. Look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. How many of you are determined to get the harvest that God has for you? Amen. Amen. See, I want you to keep confessing and declaring that because God's trying to get it to us. Mark chapter 10. And how many of you remember this man that came to Jesus called the rich young ruler? Verse 17. Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." Jesus would always divert the glory and attention to his Father. You know the commandments. Now here's the question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 19, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder and so forth. He lists a few. Verse 20, and he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Now listen, this guy is not the guy we just read about in Proverbs. This is a motivated guy. This is a guy that Jesus said, "Hey, keep the commandments." And he says, "I've been doing that from my youth." And we have no reason not to believe him. Why? For one reason, he was rich. And God had said in the Old Testament, if you keep my commandments, the blessing will come on you and overtake you. Isn't that right? So we have no reason not to believe. This doesn't appear to be a lazy guy. Somebody said, well, he could have inherited the money. He could have. There's no doubt about it. But I don't believe that was this guy's problem. So he said, all these I have kept from my youth. Verse 21, then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Loved him. Did you know Jesus loves you? And if Jesus loves you, what does he do? What does the Bible say God does to us if he loves us? He chastens us. He corrects us. He instructs us. He rebukes us. Why? Because he loves us and he wants us to get busy. What do you do with your children if you know they're not reaching their potential? Do you chase them? Do you instruct them? Do you rebuke them sometimes, trying to get them to their potential? Sure, you need to do it. If you don't, it's because if you don't do it, you don't love them. If you don't try to help them to get to the next level, it's because there's a lack of love there. You don't care. I've had kids come and tell me, "I wish my dad would get on my case like you do your kids." My parents don't care. They don't care what I do. And some of these children at their age have the maturity to know that that doesn't feel like love. Even though they just let them do whatever they want to. Doesn't feel like love. They can tell they don't care. Now, Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, "One thing you lack." See, what is he doing? He's telling him his problem. The reason why the Lord gets on our case is because he loves us. And He wants us to go to another level. How would you like it if the Lord Jesus told you that you only lack one thing? Well, wouldn't that be good? Man, it seems like to me that there are lots of things. We come to Him and says, you got 48 things you lack, and then you're all right. I mean, this guy, Jesus said, one thing you lack. Of course, He was talking about inheriting eternal life. One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure where? In heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. Now, He didn't just say follow me to anybody. What a privilege. What a privilege that He would tell this guy, follow me. How many of you know Jesus has asked us to follow Him? Take up your cross and follow me. But He was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for He had great possession. Now, what did this man value more, following Jesus or all the possession that he had? Boy, that was tough. Jesus put him in a tough spot. Of course, Jesus was getting right to the root of the issue with him. One thing you lack. Go and sell all that you have. Give it to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. He went away sad and sorrowful, for he had great possession. Okay? So the man walked away. Now, I want you to notice something interesting. Sometimes you can learn a lot by what the Bible doesn't say. Notice the Bible doesn't say what Jesus said to him while he walked away. Jesus didn't say, hey, wait a minute. Now come here. Now listen, don't you know that if you sell and give that God's going to take care of you? Come here. Sometimes we do that with people, don't we? Oh, we try to talk them into obeying God. God will tell them, work on them, tell them to do something, and we try to talk them into it, coddle them a little bit. Caress them. Come on, brother. Oh, I'll be right there with you. Come on. Notice Jesus let the guy walk away. Sad and sorrowful. And it was somebody that he loved. It wasn't just somebody, you know, that he didn't care anything. He loved him. But he let him walk right away. Told him what to do, but let him walk away. And notice, Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, let me tell you who gets blessed. The ones that hang around keep listening. Those are the ones that get blessed. They don't walk away. They don't get distracted and stop coming to church and listening to the Word and staying with the Lord. They're staying right there, because the more you stay right there at the feet of Jesus, the more you're going to catch and the more you're going to see the weaknesses and the flaws and get those taken care of. So he looks around at his disciples and he says, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. And you know, some people stop right there. See that? Told you God doesn't want anybody to have any money. Well, I don't know about your Bible. My Bible still has some more words in this chapter. Does yours? So notice this, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples said, yes, amen, those dumb rich guys. They should be poor like us, poor disciples. That's the old OTV. That's the old traditional version. It's funny how your mind just reads into these things. No, that's not what the disciples said. Jesus said it's hard for a rich guy to enter the kingdom of heaven. And what were they? They were astonished. That tripped those guys. What? Hard for a rich guy to get in? What? They were shocked. Is that what it says? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. See, Jesus was saying that people that have money generally put their trust in it. Right? They got a lot of money in the bank, so they generally have their confidence there with that money in the bank. And he said it's very difficult for them to take that trust and then to put it in the Lord. And how do you know that they put it in the Lord? When God tells them to do something with all that's in the bank, they do it. If they can't do it, it's because that's really where their confidence is. That's the nest egg right there. See? And so Jesus says, here's what you lack. And he gave him an instruction to test his ability to trust God more than his money. And he failed. So Jesus turns around and says, hard for a rich guy. And they go, what? And he said, listen, children. It's hard for somebody that trusts in riches. See, that's that love of money. It's hard for somebody who trusts in riches to enter the kingdom of God. Verse 25, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished. Look at that. They were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, listen, who then can be saved? You'd think they'd be saying, so it's us that's saved, right? Us poor ones. But listen to their question. Well, who can be saved? Let me tell you, all of that you've heard about the disciples, you know, with holes in their shoes and barely clothed and just, there's beggars going by, that's all baloney. Did you hear what I said? That's not true. That's not the way that it was. Let me tell you, the provision of God was on Jesus. He walked in the provision of God. Don't you know God supplied all of his needs? And for his whole ministry staff supplied all their needs according to the riches and glory? Is that right? Why? Because was he willing and obedient? Well, the Bible says you eat the good line. That does not mean he was flaunting stuff. That does not mean he was trying to, you know, impress people and wear all. That's not what that means. I seriously doubt he was. But I know this, when they killed him, it was prophesied and it actually came to pass that one of his garments was so valuable, the soldiers gambled just to take a piece of it. They divided it and each took a piece. That's some good fabric if you gamble to get just a piece of the fabric. How many of you know that? Is that right? This is not some old cotton t-shirt that we're gambling and give me the sleeve. Let me have that sleeve so I can change the oil in my camel. You know, no. And the other garment, the Bible says, they wouldn't divide it because it was woven from the top all the way to the bottom. And so they divided actually, and this one they gambled for because they didn't want to tear it up. This is a beautifully woven from top to bottom. No seams in this thing. In other words, it's expensive. Is this what the Bible says? Now, what I'm not saying is that Jesus was down here just flashing. No, I don't believe he was. He was humble. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. But let me tell you something. The provision and the blessing of God was on him. I'm telling you, it was there. And so when Jesus said, those who have money and are wealthy, it's hard for them to be saved. The disciples are greatly astonished at this, saying, who then can be saved? And so verse 27, but Jesus looked at them and said, with men, it is impossible. In other words, somebody that trusts in riches, it's impossible for him to get saved because he's still trusting in his money. But notice he goes on to say, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. In other words, God doesn't have any problem saving a rich guy, poor guy, in between. Doesn't make any difference to God. The power of God's the same. It's hard for the man to transfer his trust over to the Lord. That's what he's saying. He said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a person who has their trust in money to transfer that over and to begin to trust God. He said that's tough. That's tough. Now notice this. Then Peter, how many of you know that's a normal phrase in the Gospels, right? Then Peter began to say to him, see, we left all and followed you. I mean, he wanted Jesus to remember. Lord, you remember when you asked us to follow, right? We dropped the nets. You remember that, Lord? You remember? I mean, he's trying to make sure right here. Hey. You remember that, right? And listen to what Jesus says. Verse 29. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly. Now, what does assuredly mean? That's without doubt, right? No doubt. Assuredly. Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one. There is no one. There is no one. Say that. There is no one. There is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive a hundredfold, listen, now in this time. Now Jesus told the rich young ruler, you're going to receive treasure in heaven, didn't he? But here now, he says, now at this time. That guy didn't stay around to hear this. He missed out on this. He didn't come to the next service the next week. He got offended. Right? He got offended on Wednesday and didn't show up for Sunday. Is that right? And so when Jesus was going to turn around and explain, well, it's not only heaven. There is no one who has left houses or family or lands for my sake or the gospel who shall not receive 100 times. Now, in this time. Is that what it says? What does that mean? Jesus is saying, no, there is harvest. And then, of course, he goes on to say, and in the age to come, eternal life. And in the, so it's both. But I want you to notice that there is a harvest right here. But he's saying, but you got to deal with your heart. Because if you're not willing to do what God tells you to do, you're trusting in the money. I remember the Lord said to me one time, he said, many people in the body of Christ have more confidence in 10% of their income than they do in me. In other words, they can't tithe. They can't give. And we, by the way, in our reading today, those of us that are reading the Old Testament, did you notice in Leviticus, it says the tithe is the Lord's? That's why, see, you don't give God tithe. It's already His. He counts it as His already. So not giving it, that's why Malachi was where God said, you stole it from me. Because He thinks it's already His. Is that right? But listen, God doesn't need the money. God's trying to work on our hearts. And so many, He said, in the body of Christ, when we can't give them that 10% because I need it, He said they have more confidence in what that 10% is going to do for their finances than what I'm going to do for them. And I thought, my, I never had thought about it like that before. Thank the Lord. So, this second point that the Holy Spirit pointed out to me about reaping is, some people, the first point was some people need to get up. This one is some people need to give up. How many of you know there's sometimes where you've got to give something up if you want to reap the harvest? You've got to give something up. I remember when I knew the Lord called me into full-time ministry. And it doesn't matter whether it's full-time or part-time. Whatever ministry God has for you, it's going to take something. You're going to have to let go of something to receive what the Lord has for you. Did you know that? You cannot live two lives. So if you're too busy with your life the way that it is now, how are you going to have the time to live God's life? Because God's life will consume all of your time. He plans every... How many of you know God plans all your life? Isn't that right? He doesn't just say, you know what? I got a great plan for you 1 hour a day. And the rest, whatever you want to do, but that 1 hour, I'm planning. No, God plans your whole life. Everything. See, so if you've got all this stuff that you're doing that you won't let go of, and God's prompting you to do something else, and you say, I want to, but I'm too busy. Well, if the Lord's telling you to do this, then what are you busy doing? Right? We're too busy doing something that He hasn't told us. See, we trust in that, though. A lot of us get our identity from that stuff. And so you know, it doesn't matter. You could be coaching Little League. You could be working in the PTA or be in this club and that club. And somehow you get a little esteem off of that. And so you keep doing it, but God hasn't told you to do that. But you keep doing it, and it makes you feel good because maybe you don't feel good in other areas of your life, but maybe you don't because you're not doing what the Lord said to do. Well, see, you're trusting in those things to keep you fulfilled and satisfied. Well, I don't know what those things are, but the Lord does. But see, if you want to get the harvest, you got to be able to let go. Everything is negotiable. Everything's on the table. You don't say, well, you know what? I tell you what I'll do. I won't sleep as much. Okay, I just won't sleep as much. Well, that's probably not one that you should put on the table. Unless you're like that sluggard and you're already, you know, sleeping too much. But sometimes there are some other things. Sometimes watching television. Sometimes it is all those clubs, all this, in these involvements, hanging out with friends and such. And the Lord is saying, listen, give that up and get busy doing what I've called you. Now, there are a whole bunch of people in this room that are doing that right now. You're in one of the Operation Solid Life classes. Let me tell you, you're working this principle that we're talking about right now. Is that true? And does it reap harvest? I mean, it starts doing something right away. But it costs something, doesn't it? And it's not money. Money's a part of it. What it really costs is time, attention, focus. I remember when I knew the Lord had called me into full-time ministry. I was believing God, but I was working at the grocery store. But one of the guys, actually the youth pastor from the church, told me, he says, hey, listen, bro, I'm resigning. And I recommended you to take over the youth group, and pastor wants to talk to you to talk about it. Man, by the time I got to his office, I'd already prayed about it. Before that, I already knew that that's what God wanted me to do. I knew it in my spirit that somehow, some way, that was going to happen and I was going to do it. So I got in there and he talked to me about it and such. And I said, yeah, I believe the Lord wants me to do it. And he hadn't offered me a dime. He was offering me a job, but he didn't tell me how much. And somebody said, well, you're just not a very good negotiator. No, I wasn't. But let me tell you something. I was going through a test with God that I was going to do what He said to do, and it didn't depend on how much you gave me. See, I expect God to take care of me. And so, at the end of I already said yes, and at the end of the conversation, He said, well, I don't know how much we're going to pay. He said, I don't know whether it's $300 or $400 a month. I don't really know, and I'll have to talk to Nolan, the financial guy. Some of you know who that is. And I said, just let me know. See, I was already a done deal. You know why? Because in my heart, I already gave it up. See, you gotta be willing to give up. See, God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, but He had a problem getting Egypt out of the children of Israel. Right? In their hearts, they still had Egypt ways. And so when God would tell them to do something, to trust Him, they had a hard time doing it because they were so dependent on the wages that they got from Egypt. They got their food, their portions, and all that. And when it didn't come just like that, they freaked out. And they couldn't trust the Lord. And God's trying to get them out of that slave mentality. Thank you, Lord. How many of you want to get out of this? I got to show you a verse. Hold your place and look at Leviticus. How many of you read Leviticus today? Anybody? Oh, listen to this verse. This turned me on when I saw this. Praise God. Is anybody getting anything out of this? Somebody's getting a kick out of something over there. Oh, where is it? Right here in chapter 26. There it is. 13. How'd you know? Thank God. Listen to this. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt that you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you walk upright. Now listen. I brought you out of the land of Egypt that you should not be their slaves. But so many Christians, God has brought them out. Egypt is a sign of the world not being saved. When you get born again, when you get saved, receive Jesus Lord, you've come out of Egypt, you're in the promised land. But that doesn't mean the problem's solved in the promised land, right? You got giants, you got big walls, you got all the ites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and all those, you know, termites and everybody's out there, right? The problem doesn't get solved when you get saved. But listen to what God said. God said, I brought you out of Egypt so that you're no longer slaves of Egypt. But so many people, even though they come out of Egypt, listen, let me say it this way. So many Christians that have come out of the world, you're saved now, but you're still a slave to the world. And the way you get your provision is paychecks. That's your provision. You don't know how to go and trust God. You're used to the old way of thinking. When's the check coming? Is it the first? How many more days till the first? I thought God was your source. He is, and He got me this job, so this is how it's going to come. See, you're still a slave of the world system. That's all the world has. They got to work for their payday. Listen, we're not limited to that. God led them out into the wilderness. What was there out there? Was there any provision out there? Walmart, Kmart, Sam's Club, Costco. Was there any? There's nothing out there. You know why? Because He wanted to teach them something. Wanted to teach them to get off of that payday mentality. To get off of that world system of, here's how I get my money. It comes like this. And to get out there to say, no, God blesses me. All I got to do is I got to ask Him, and He's going to send the manna down. The water will come out of the rock if it has to. Is that right? You see what I'm talking about? See, He doesn't want us to be slaves to that old system anymore. He got us out of Egypt, but so many, many Christians are like these children of Israel, where you got out of Egypt, but Egypt's still in you. And because it's not coming the way you thought, you're ready to go back. No, God's saying, I got something better for you. Better for you. What do you have to do? You got to give up. You got to give up to go up. You got to let go of something. And let God take you to some new place where you can trust Him. Thank God. So, I walked out of my pastor's office, and it hit me. 300 or 400. 300 or 400. You know, and I realized, I thought, well, I wasn't in a lot of debt, but I did have a truck that cost me $210 a month, and my insurance for the truck. That's it. That was all. Okay? And I realized, it doesn't matter whether it's 3 or 4, they're neither one's going to work. Because I got to eat. Yeah, I got to give these. So, I had to go back to the Lord. What do I do? What do I do? I'm willing to do whatever I need to do. And so, I sold my truck. Some people say, well, Pastor, you know, I can't do it. Because, see, well, you know what? That's okay. That's not necessarily bad. But I'm just telling you that God had already taught me. Don't look to a man. See, once you start looking to a person, now you're limited to that. Once you start that whole, I'm going to negotiate, then that's your way of getting it. Now, I'm not saying it's bad to talk about things, because a lot of times when I'm bringing somebody on, I'll ask them, how's your budget? Let's talk about it. I'll ask him about it. My pastor didn't ask. Of course, he knew, you know, you get into a bind when you ask. Because they tell you. And if I'd have told him, then he would have felt obligated to change it. But I knew the Lord was testing me too to see where I was going to look and what I was willing to do. But I tell you what, I wasn't about, after all of this time working night crew and working in that store those years, wanting to do what God says, and then all of a sudden an opportunity comes up and I'm going to worry about my truck? No. No, 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 no. No, see, did I like it? Yes, I did. Was that my first new car ever? Yes, it was. Yes, it was. But it was nothing compared to what God had for me. Is anybody listening to what I'm saying? I'm saying that the decision was made. I didn't whine, didn't complain to anybody, didn't say, I didn't tell one person, didn't even think about complaining about it. I just said, I got to sell my truck. Why? I'm going into ministry. Thank God, full time. Praise God. See, I was excited about that. Excited. See, but you got to have that on your mind. If you want to reap that harvest, you got to let go of things sometimes. You got to let go. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody is going to let go of the same thing. Sometimes you're not supposed to let go of some things. You're supposed to believe God to retain what you have and get something else. This is where you got to be led by the Holy Spirit. But see, sometimes God's dealing with your heart and testing you and checking you out to see if you can let go of some things. Can you let go of some things? Can you let go of some of those friends you're hanging out with? Some of those clubs you're in? And get busy doing what the Lord says. And sometimes you not only have to give up to harvest, but you have to give up to sow. You can't even sow into the Spirit because you're sowing too much to the flesh. You're just too involved in things. Now, how do you know what to give up? Well, the Holy Spirit needs to lead you. But I know this, if the Holy Spirit is leading you to do something and you can't do it because you've got too many other things to do, or He's leading you to give something but you can't do it because you have too many other things you give to and obligations, then you need to go back and find out what needs to be cut. Is that right? Find out what needs to be cut. You know, because some people let's go back to finance. Some people won't tithe or won't give or anything, but they can pay on that big screen TV every month. How many of you know God thinks like that? God says, oh, you chose all those other things that you can do every month. But when it comes time to what I ask you to do, you can't do it. And yet we're coming to God, Lord, bless me, help me, God. That big screen TV payment's coming, Lord, help me. And the Lord said, go ask Howard to help you. Right? Or go ask Paul, the king, right? Paul's your king. Some of you know who Paul is. Is that right? You're tithing to Paul. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I remember there was a guy. That man, he knew he was called into the ministry, and he kept telling me, I want to be in so bad. He wanted to be on our staff so bad, so bad, so bad. And he had some volunteer ministry, and the Lord had given him opportunity and such. And then he got offered, come on, come on, you want to come on here? And then, you know, he told him how much it was going to be. And so he started negotiating, and he started talking about it, and going back, well, let me think about this and figure it, come back. And he couldn't let the other go. Because see, he had a financial plan. And he was on a plan and he had this other job and he was working the system and moving up financially and such. And so he couldn't get over there. But let me tell you, in his heart he was miserable because he couldn't just say, yeah, here I am, let's go, come on, let's go. God will bless me, God will help me. He couldn't trust that. He couldn't trust it. And so, but he kept coming telling me how miserable he was. Man, I just want to be here. Well, you don't want to be here that bad. You want too many things. And sometimes, thank God, like what Jesus said to this guy, you want to follow me? Here's what you need to do. You need to give up something. Something specifically that is dear to your heart that you trust in. So you can show God, no, I trust you now, God. I trust you now, God. Thank God. Amen. Well, look at Exodus 13. Exodus 13. I got this one in staff devotions from a couple of staff members. Of course, I'd already probably seen it before. No, I don't think I did. Exodus 13. Here's the third point. And I'm going to wrap this up quickly. Exodus 13. You want to hear this? This is good too. Some of you, this is so good, some of you are not going to like it. Exodus 13, 17. Now this is when, this is talking about after God got the children of Israel out of Egypt and He's going to get them into the promised. I don't know about you, but I like to get into the promised land quick, don't you? And I like to drive the ites out quick. And get into those houses that are already fully furnished and decorated that he talked about in Deuteronomy 6 and 8 and such. I like it all to happen quick. Now notice what he said in Exodus 13, 17. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. In other words, the shortest distance to get from where they were coming out of Egypt to the promised land was through the way of the Philistines. But notice what he said. God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around. How many of you know what around means? That's called the long way. not only long in distance, but long in time. Anybody ever feel like you've been going around the long way? So God led them around, verse 18, by the way of the wilderness. Isn't that fun? See, why did they go to the... See, we just think about the fact that we just think about it as if that God always had planned that the wilderness was the only thing to do. No, here it says God had an option. He didn't have to take them through the wilderness. Some, God, why did you do it? Here's why. Because they didn't have fight in here yet. How many of you know Paul said we need to fight the good fight of faith? Isn't that right? And God says, well, it's because if I take them through the land of the Philistines and the Philistines attack, which they will, then they're going to have to get up and fight for what belongs to them. And he said, my people are not ready to fight for what belongs to them. Let me tell you, there are a lot of Christians that they know God has something for them. They want it, but not enough to fight for it. Not enough to fight for it. So what does God do? He's going to take you around and around and around. Does he want you to have it? Yes, he does. But until you get the fight inside, you're going to go around and around. And that's what they did, right? They went around. And that generation actually never made it in, but their children did. Thank God. But how many of you would say, you know what? Man, I'm tired of going around. Man, I want God to stir me up, get some fight in me, and let Satan attack me. Right? All these people that got in boot camp and CIA and all this kind of stuff, I mean, we generally tell them, now be ready for the enemy to come at you. But don't be thinking about it and be freaked out and, yeah, I'm not ready for that, you know. No, get in there, stay in there and fight for what belongs to you. Man, I'm telling you, this belongs to you. This is your harvest. God's showing you something. But see, if you want to get there on the fast track, then you got to have some fight on the inside and relentlessness to say, no, this belongs to me. And when the enemy comes against you, you say, in the name of Jesus, I resist you, I rebuke you, and I command you to let go of me, my family, my health, my finances, my marriage, right? I command you. And see, it takes some fight because the Philistines will come. But I don't know about, I can pass through, I can bypass the wilderness. Lord, it's okay with me if we don't. Yeah, but you don't get the Red Sea. That's all right. I don't need the Red Sea. I don't need the Red Sea. I want to get in the Promised Land. I don't care anything about the Red Sea. Thank God. Well, was it a blessing to go through the Red Sea? Amen. It was. Let me show you one more scripture. Chapter 23. So that point was fight or go the long way. If you're not willing to fight for your harvest and what God has for you, your Promised Land, then you're going to have to go the long way. Does it still belong to you? Yes, it does. But you're not ready for it quick. God, I have to take you around the block. Chapter 23. All right, here we go. Last one. Verse 23:29. God tells them about the Promised Land, I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year. Lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Verse 30, little by little I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. Now let me tell you, I know that this is what God is doing with all these buildings around here. Now he could if he wanted to, if God wants us to take over the whole block and everything, God could just have all these businesses go out at once. But how many of you know we're not ready right now for them all to go out at once? Man, we're stretching our faith just to get these two new ones up and ready. Is that right? We're believing God, stretching. Let me tell you, it's not any hardship on God. Notice again, verse 30, little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased. Why is he doing a little time? Because we need to grow. We need to increase. Now, this applies to us corporately, and as we continue to grow, and obviously, we're growing. Amen. We're coming along. We're growing. We're learning to put our trust in the Lord. We're learning to tithe. We're learning to put it out there for the Lord so He can get some things done. See, so we're increasing. But this is also to us individually. And God says, listen, if I just loaded you up, see, we think the answer would be, God, just load me up. And God said, no, I'm waiting for you to grow. Because so many of us, if God loaded us up and blessed us right now, that Egypt's still in our heart. That world system is still in our heart. That love of money, we still got, even though you say you don't want it, I don't want any materialism, I don't want any greed. But you know what? Let me tell you, the love of money is not just rich people. Most all of these homeless people out here have the love of money. Did you know that? I'm telling you, you don't have to have a dime to have the love of money in your heart. You want it. Envy. They want it. They want that money. And so God says, I'm blessing you a little bit at a time because I'm waiting on you to grow. I'm waiting on you to increase so you can handle it. Otherwise, if I give it all this land to you at once, you don't have the capacity to receive it and to obtain it and to possess it. And so the beast of the fields will come. All the crops will overgrow. He said, what I'm doing, listen to the genius of God, what I'm doing is a little at a time, I'm going to knock them out, and then you'll take over those houses. Man, not only is there a house built there, the roof's all taken care of, there's furniture in there, there's a log in the fireplace burning. I mean, you just go in there and sit down. You know, the Hittite just set his hot chocolate down, you know, and God drove him out, and you go in there and sit down and drink his hot chocolate. Thank you, Lord. But see, God said, if I drive them out too fast, you don't have the ability to possess all that. So that house gets run down, gets all full of dust, and the bugs overrun, and the crops overgrow, and the weeds and everything. By the time you get in there, you've got a mess on your hands. You've got to go in and recultivate everything. But he said, man, the way I'm doing it, you come in there, look at that. And it's almost harvest time, too. I'm glad those Hittites planted this for me. Thank God. You see that? But see, he said, a little at a time. So somebody said, well, how do I speed it up? You increase. You jump in the Word and you jump in the things of God and you grow and you get to the place where you can possess and not fall prey to the love of money and not fall prey to the things of the world, to the flesh. Thank God. Does anybody see this?
Yes.
See, these are all keys to harvest. Keys to harvest. God's trying to get us to... How many of you know God doesn't want to bless us to go to hell? He doesn't want to bless us to get us all caught up in the world. Says, I've seen people do that. I've seen people get in and they're Christians, but then they start getting blessed and then all of a sudden, oh, hey, where have you been? I haven't seen you. See him in the grocery store. Where have you been? You know what? God's blessed me so much, I don't even have time to come to church. And before you know it, they didn't have time to come home to their wife. Didn't have time for the children. Didn't have time to take care of themselves, and all of a sudden they're totally ripped off. What happened? That blessing will get you. But God says, no, a little at a time, because I'm waiting for you to grow up and increase. Praise God. Let's stand up and lift our hands to the Lord and thank God for increasing us. Come on, let's thank God for teaching us how to reap the harvest. Oh, Lord, we come to you tonight and we thank you for the harvest, Lord. Praise God. We bless you, Jesus. You're increasing us. Lord, you're teaching us how to receive. You're teaching us how to grow up in things. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Now, here, thank God specifically for what you heard from him tonight. You don't have to do it real loud, but you might say, Lord, thank you for teaching me not to be a slugger. Thank you for teaching me to get up and get motivated, not to wait for somebody. Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you for teaching me that I've got to give up some things on my calendar, give up some things in my life to go up. Lord, thank you for teaching me that I've got to be willing to fight for my harvest. I've got to be willing to go through some tough times to get what you have for me. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Lord, I thank you for giving it to us a little at a time until we can grow up. But Lord, grow us up quicker in Jesus' name. Help us to get motivated more than we have been. We've got kingdom business to do in this earth. People's lives are on the line, God. And we need to receive so that we can be bigger givers and bigger investors and more mature in the things of the Lord and taking more authority over the works of darkness. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Help us to be those people you've called us to be. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just say this out loud. Say, in the name of Jesus, my trust is in the Lord. I'm not waiting on a paycheck. I'm not dependent on this world system. God provides for me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? I'm going with the Lord. I'm going up higher. I'm going farther. In the name of Jesus, I'm letting go of things that have held me back. I'm laying aside those weights and the sin that besets me. And I'm going forward with Jesus to do whatever He tells me to do. I'm going to reap the harvest, not just for myself, but for the glory of the Lord, for the agenda of God, the purpose of the kingdom. I'm determined to be a part of God's vision. I'm determined to get my plan accomplished. I'm determined to hear my Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I'm going to do it in Jesus' name. With the strength of the Lord, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I'm different than all the people in the world. I've got the kingdom inside of me. I've got the name of Jesus. I've got the Holy Spirit. I've got the Word of God. I've got the blessing of God. I have nothing to worry about. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me. He guides me. And even through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because He's with me. And surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Oh, bless the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Some of you caught some keys from the Holy Spirit tonight to go to another level. Now, what does the Bible say? But be doers. Isn't that what it says? But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Do this before you leave. Smile at somebody and say, "Now be a doer." Come on, tell them. Now be a
We hope you enjoyed this message today by Jerry Dearman, Senior Pastor of The Rock. To join Operation Solid Lives, Pastor Jerry's free discipleship program, get free teaching downloads and blog and Twitter updates, find a campus of The Rock near you, or to join the 2 Spy Club and help get this uncompromised teaching to the world, visit us at jerrydearman.com or write to Jerry Dearman Ministries, P.O. Box 4970, Anaheim, California, 92830.